tuning in to the Next Level Church podcast. For more information, check out our website at nextlevelchurch.net.
Good morning. I am absolutely humbled and honored and so thankful that you guys are here. Church is not a building and it's not a pastor, it's people. And so we gather for services every week, and I am blown away and so honored that you're here and that Next Level is your church. And so thank you so much for being here. Today we are continuing our series entitled To the Core, and we're talking about core values. Core values are the root beliefs that a person or organization operates from. They are the principal perspectives that guide a person or organization's behavior with others. And almost every organization has core values. If you want to know, do I align with a business before I buy their product, check their website, and they will list. Almost every organization says, these are our core values. These are the things that we value over almost everything else, because no organization can do everything and no organization can be everything to everyone. So they've come up with some ideas and said, these are the things we value more than anything else. And I've been having a little bit of fun with some companies' core values in this series. I did a little research and found I want to share with you a real-life core value. And this is from an organization. And what I want you to do is just shout out from your seat, what organization do you think has this as their core value? What do you think has, like, what company lives this out? Here is the core value. Imaginative innovation. Imaginative innovation. What organization or business do you think lives out imaginative innovation? Just shout out an answer. What do you think? Apple, that is a great guess. You can keep guessing. There's other great companies out there. What? Disney. That's an amazing guess. Disney, yep. Anyone else? You guys are scared. One more. Chipotle. That's a great amen to Chipotle. That would be a great one. Imaginative innovation. Well, if you would have said something like Tesla, that would have made a lot of sense. Google would make a lot of sense. But no one said what it actually is. The right organization is Crocs. Crocs. You know the rubber shoes with holes all in them that all look the exact same? They're just different colors. One of their core values is imaginative innovation. Now, a better core value, in my opinion, for Crocs would be when you've completely given up looking normal, but you don't care because they're comfortable. That's a core value that Crocs can get behind. Now, I'm not hating on Crocs. Yeah, you can clap for that. I'm not hating on Crocs. There's no judgment. My kids rock Crocs. They love them. They're absolutely comfortable, and they're easy to put on. But here's the thing. When I saw that was one of their core values, like, I did a facepalm. I was like, are you kidding me? Like, what is innovative about these simple shoes? So they have a core value that doesn't match our perception of who they are. And the reason that we're doing this series about our core values is because I don't want us to be a church that when someone hears what we're about, they have the same reaction that we did to Crocs. I don't want someone to laugh and say, what? That doesn't match who that church is. Because our core values are plastered on the wall when you walk in. And our core values are on our website. And we do try to talk about our core values. So when someone hears that you go to Next Level and they find out what the core values are, I want them to say, you know what, that makes a lot of sense. They actually live out what they say they believe. So in week one, we looked at the core value of start with God and the rest will follow. And the challenge that I've been trying to give everyone is what would happen if we literally took Jesus at his word, where Jesus said, start with God and everything else will come after, everything else will follow. What would happen if God's people literally started with God at the beginning of their day? What if before you made a decision, you started with God? What if before you allowed worry and anxiety to take over your mind, you started with God? What if before you voted in an election, you started with God and literally said, God, what do you want me to do? God, you're in control, and I'm not. I want to give over the control to you and speak to me. Help me understand and know what to do. Last week, we looked at the core value of authenticity matters. Authenticity matters. This is a very important core value because in our culture today, authenticity is something that is celebrated. In fact, I hear on the regular, especially on social media, where people say that you need to be your authentic self.
Well, if you're here today and you're a Christian, we need to ask some questions about that. The first question is, well, what is my authentic self? What does that actually mean? Because there's a lot of complex and conflicting things that go on inside each and every single human being. So what is the authentic self? And the second question that Christians need to ask is, what happens when my authentic self is not in alignment with who God says I am? At that point, we have a choice to make. And for Christians, this is how we are defining authentic self. An authentic Christian is one who is both privately and publicly putting off the old self, and by God's grace, putting on the renewed self. Every single one of us has some things in our life that honor God, and we have some things that don't honor God. And we get to make a decision. What am I going to hold on to, and what am I going to check? Our authentic self for Christians is the self that aligns with God. And we say, I want to align with you because you are in charge. Well, this week's core value, Pastor Eric already shared it. It is, you can't do life alone. And I asked the band to do that song, namely because I really like the song. It's a very catchy song. But the song perplexes me that the song is written and performed by a band that was really popular, especially in the 90s, called Green Day. It is a band, not a solo act. So the band literally is made up of multiple people, and they had thousands, if not millions, of fans. And each band member had a family when this song was written, and yet the song says, I walk alone. And I don't know about you, but I can relate to that. Have you ever felt like you're surrounded by people and yet you're still alone? Especially when you go through difficult times, it can feel like no one understands my struggle. No one understands the pain that I'm going through. I'm surrounded by people. I have people. I have friends on social media. I go to church with people. I work with people. And yet it is very easy to live life alone, even being surrounded by people. And so we want to talk about that idea and talk about that core value today. And that takes us to our big idea today. It should be no surprise. If you're taking notes, which I hope you do, I would encourage you to write down the big idea. The big idea is simply this. You can't do life alone. Bet you didn't see that coming. You can't do life alone. So we're going to look at a handful of scriptures this morning, but our theme scripture is written by a guy by the name of Solomon. And we believe that Solomon is the wisest man ever to live. He is also one of the most wealthy men ever to live. He was the king over Israel, and he wrote a book, at least predominantly wrote most of the book, that we call Proverbs. Proverbs are wisdom sayings. And if you're new to the church scene, or if you've never read through the Bible, I would encourage you to check out Proverbs, because the amazing thing about Proverbs is that there are 31 chapters of Proverbs, so you could read a proverb a day. Literally every day of the month, whatever day it is, the 27th, find the 27th proverb and read that proverb. And it's been famously said that a proverb a day keeps the fool at bay. It is a book of wisdom. It helps you learn what to do, what not to do. It is a great book to read. And it is written by, like I said, Solomon. And Solomon writes our theme verse for today. And at Next Level, we want to honor the text. And we do that by standing to our feet and reading it nice and loud. We're going to read Proverbs 27:17. I invite you to stand up. When we get to the reference, we have a little bit of fun. You'll see the reference is Proverbs 27:17. There's two dots between the 27 and the 17. And we like to have fun and just say dot, dot. I want to invite all of you to participate when we get to that part. Would you read it with me nice and loud? It says, as iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another. Proverbs 27, dot, dot, 17. Now that we've read the text, let's go to God in prayer. God, we come before you, and we ask that you would speak to our hearts in a real way. God, each and every single one of us brings in our own hurts, our own baggage, our own insecurities, our own fears. And God, we also bring in our own distractions. And we just ask in the next few moments that you would speak, that you would speak to our hearts, and that you'd give us the courage to do whatever you tell us to do. God, I ask that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight. Oh, Lord, you are my rock and my redeemer. In Jesus' name, amen. You may have a seat. So our core value is you can't do life alone. And it seems pretty straightforward, but it actually needs some explaining because technically you can do life alone. Like technically the phrase is not 100% true. In fact, if there are some of you in your personality where you hear you can't do life alone, you push back on that and you're like, well, just watch me. I can do life alone. And all the introverts said, amen. Can I hear from the introverts in the room today? Here's the thing. I feel like our area of Virginia, I feel like we actually collect introverts. I know way more introverts than I know extroverts. And I want to say something. This is a little tangent just real quickly. I feel like in our society, introverts get shamed and extroverts get praised. If you're an introvert, there's nothing shameful about it. Can I get some united from the introverts? All the introverts unite alone by yourselves in your homes around from other people. Introverts, yeah, there you go. There is nothing wrong with being an introvert. There's also a lot of misperceptions about what an extrovert and an introvert is. If you want to know whether you're introvert or extrovert, there's one test that will help you understand this. Where do you get your energy from? So when you go to a party or even a church service like this, when you leave, do you feel energized and ready to go, or do you feel drained? If you feel like after being around a lot of people that you need to recharge with alone time, then you are more introverted. If you feel like after hanging out with people that you're ready to go, like you can't sleep, you're wired, you're more extroverted. And there's nothing wrong with being introverted or extroverted. My wife and I took a personality test a handful of years ago. And what was interesting about it is right before we took this test, I read an article on introverts and extroverts. And the article said that no one is 100% an introvert or 100% extrovert, that it is a sliding scale. And all of us fall somewhere on this scale. Some of us may be more extroverted than others or more introverted than others. But the article specifically said and quoted science that said if any human being was 100% introverted or 100% extroverted, that they would actually die, that the human brain could not take if you were 100% this. So then my wife and I take this personality test, and my wife scores 100% extrovert. I'm like, sorry, babe, like you're not going to make it. Like, according to research, I scored in the high 70s. Sometimes when I take it, it's the low 80s. My point being, though, is that some of us are more extroverted, and if we're more extroverted, you may look at this core value and say, right on, I can get behind that. But if you're more introverted, then you're like, yeah, I don't know. I really think I could live alone. In fact, I get kind of annoyed by people. I think I could challenge that core value. And if you're here today, no matter if you're introverted or extroverted, I want to explain to you what this core value means. Because the truth is, you can do life alone. But if you want to go further, faster, if you want to achieve more in life, if you want to become more spiritually alive, it will involve other people. You can do life alone, but it is next to impossible to live the Christian life alone. And so I want to show you this in our text, Proverbs 27:17. We've read it together, but I'm going to explain it now. This is Solomon. He writes, "As iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another." Now, I think we get this concept, right? It's this idea that if a knife or a sword is dull, the way to sharpen it is with something else that is hard, that a harder substance. We know that knives over time get dull, but I'm not a knife person. Like, I don't collect knives. I don't have a lot of knives. I barely use knives. And so when I read this verse, that as iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another, I was like, I wonder if there's any like real facts to that. Like, is this just some wisdom saying that Solomon came up with? Or is there some like truth to what he actually means? And so I did some Google research on knives, and I found some interesting things. Some things maybe you know, because maybe you're a knife enthusiast, but these are things that I did not know. Did you know that the main thing that dulls a knife is when you cut something on a surface that is harder than the knife? I didn't know that. They said the worst surfaces to cut something on are stone, glass, ceramic, or porcelain. And they said that a common problem with modern Americans is a lot of people have like granite countertops, and we use that as the cutting board, that you would just cut something on it real quick, and it actually dulls your knife. According to this knife enthusiast, the best thing to use for a cutting board is a wood cutting board because it's softer than the actual knife. And I'm reading all this information, and then the person who wrote the article said this. The interesting thing is, most of the people I know who own dull knives know that their knives are dull. They either don't have time to sharpen them, or they don't know how to. And I thought that was an interesting idea, that most people who have dull knives are like, yeah, I know they're dull. I just don't want to make the time, or I don't know how to actually sharpen them. And I think there's a parallel with these knives and with our spiritual lives. In fact, I want to substitute out a word and read the exact same phrase because I think it hits us a little bit differently. Let's read it again. The interesting thing is, most of the people I know who own dull spiritual lives know that their spiritual life is dull. They either don't have time to sharpen them or they don't know how. It hits different when you substitute that word. But the truth is that the vast majority of people of faith who would say, I am a Christian, still struggle with having a dull spiritual life. And so I want to ask you some rhetorical questions. These are questions that I hope you'll answer on your own time. I would encourage you to take a picture of these questions and reflect on them. Here are a few questions for you to wrestle with. Number one, how is your spiritual life? How is your spiritual life? Is your spiritual life sharp or dull? This isn't meant to condemn anyone. It's not meant to cast stones at anyone. It's just for you to answer. Is your spiritual life, do you feel like, yeah, man, my spiritual life is on fire, or do you feel like you're just going through the motions? Do you feel a fire for God, or do you feel like you're just going through the motions? When it comes to our spiritual lives, Solomon gives an amazing illustration. And the illustration is that we go dull. By nature of living life, we will go dull. Why? Because this life is hard. And what causes a knife to go dull? A surface that is harder than it. Well, I don't know anyone that doesn't go through hard difficulties in life. I don't know anyone that's not struggling at least some point. Everybody struggles. And when you struggle, when you go through hardships, the easy thing then is to try to coast and try to get comfortable and try to just say, I'm going to try to numb the pain because life is so hard. I don't want to push through it. Anytime I think about difficult circumstances or difficult life, I think of what the great theologian Rocky Balboa once said. Rocky said, let me tell you something you already know. This world ain't all sunshine and rainbows. It's a very mean and nasty place. And I don't care how tough you are, it will beat you to your knees and keep you there permanently if you let it. You, me, or nobody is going to hit as hard as life. But it ain't about how hard you hit. It's about how hard you can get hit and keep moving forward. How much you can take and keep moving forward. That's how winning is done. Yeah. You guys came alive with Rocky. I need to insert more Rocky Balboa. I relate to that quote, though, because life does hit hard. And in the world of knives, when a knife hits a hard substance, it causes it to become dull. And I'm convinced the same thing happens with our spiritual lives. That so often, because life is hard, you would think we would just run to the Father, that we'd run to God, and we'd say, hey, I need some help. But sometimes life is so hard, we're like, I just don't have the energy to pray. I don't have the energy to read the scriptures. I don't have the energy. I feel so broken by the hardness of life. I just want to numb this pain. And I don't know about you, but I feel like life is a constant battle where I'm constantly being hit by things, and it's exhausting. And by nature, as Christians, as people of faith, hard things in life can cause us to dull our spiritual lives. It reminds me of the quote by Pastor Jim Cimbala. It's a challenging quote. He says, we are always either drawing nearer to God or falling away. There is no holding pattern. And when it comes to our spiritual lives, oftentimes when we go through difficult seasons, we kind of coast and we say, well, God will be there for me. God understands that I'm too busy or I'm too tired to pray. God will be there for me. But I love this idea because as human beings, we are not standing close to Jesus at all times. He doesn't move, but we do. And constantly in life, we are either moving closer to God or we are moving further away. There is no holding pattern. We are becoming dull spiritually just because we're humans. And the way to sharpen ourselves spiritually is to be around other Christians, other people of faith, to help sharpen us. It's like what the quote by Jim Rohn, it's a famous quote. Jim Rohn says, you are the average of the five people you spend the most time with. You are the average of the five people you spend the most time with. So if you want to see the direction of your life, if you want to see the future of your life, look at the people that influence you the most. And if you're here and would be honest with yourself and say, you know what, I'm going through a season of dullness when it comes to my spiritual life, then the question is to look at your circle. Who's in your circle? Because we are all influencing someone, and someone is influencing us. And if you're feeling a little bit dull, then Solomon would say the answer is to get around someone else, because iron sharpens iron. Paul, the apostle, wrote half of the New Testament, and he wrote this challenging verse to the Christians living in Corinth. In 1 Corinthians 15, 33 through 34, Paul writes, do not be misled. Bad company corrupts good character. Come back to your senses as you ought and stop sinning, for there are some who are ignorant of God. I say this to your shame. And this needs a little bit of explaining. What's going on in Corinth is that the people, the Christians living in Corinth, were being influenced by other people who said they were Christians, but they believed something that was against Christianity. Specifically, what they believed is they believed that Jesus was not coming back. They believed that there was no such thing as a resurrection. And they believed that your life, the life that you live, is the only life there is. So when you die, that's it. There is no heaven. There is no eternity. There is no resurrection. And there were some of the Christians living in Corinth who were saying, you know what, I like that idea. I believe that idea. And because they didn't believe there was an afterlife, it was causing them to live wildly and do things that were not honoring to God. The Greek word for what the Corinthians did in this season was YOLO. I'm just kidding. That's not the actual Greek word. YOLO, you only live once. That's what how they were living. They were saying, hey, if there is no afterlife, if there is no heaven, if Jesus is never coming back, then it doesn't matter what I do. And Paul says, I want to warn you, that thinking is sin. Bad company, it corrupts good character. I don't know about you, but so often in my life, the times that I've gotten into trouble, it's been because of friends that influenced me or inspired me to do things that I knew that I shouldn't do. I remember when I was in 10th grade, some friends and I went to a Pilots baseball game. And while we were at the game, it started raining, and they pulled out the tarps over the field. And one of my friends said, look, there's no one in the dugout. All the players have gone back to the locker room. Let's go hang out in the dugout. And I didn't know better, and so I just went with my friends. And we're hanging out in the dugout, and we're just having fun. Kind of, I've never been in a baseball dugout on a semi-professional baseball field, and we're just joking around. And then one of the guys says, look at that tarp over the baseball field. Wouldn't it be amazing to slide on the tarp? And he said, let's all do it together. And so all of us, there was about 8 or 9 of us, we stood at the bottom of the dugout, underneath the bottom step, and he said, on the count of three, we're going to go. 1, 2, 3, and I busted out of the dugout as fast and as hard as I possibly could. And I run out the dugout, and I run onto the field, and I look back, and no one else has gone with me. But at that point, I already committed. So I jump, and I slide on the tarp on the Peninsula Pilots baseball field, and it's the best slip and slide in the history of the world. I slid from first base all the way to third, and then off the tarp. And at this point, the crowd sees it, and they're cheering, and I stand up and raise my fist in the air, and everyone goes crazy, and I'm like, this is the greatest moment of my life, until the police officer walks up to me. And he grabs me by the arm, and he says, did you know that I could have you arrested for trespassing on the baseball field? And I said, I had no idea. Like, I tried to play the dumb card, because I really didn't. I didn't know it was illegal. I didn't know it's not something that I should do. And I can just tell you, I would have never come to that conclusion on my own. If I was sitting in the baseball stands by myself, I would have never ended up on that field. But what happens is we get influenced by the people that are in our lives. And that's not an excuse to say that you're not responsible for your own bad behaviors, but it is a challenge to look at who is influencing you. Because Paul says that bad company corrupts good character. It's like the quote that's been made really famous and said by a bunch of people, if you want to go fast, go alone. If you want to go far, go with others. It's an old African proverb that Al Gore made up, as quoted by Al Gore on the TV show 30 Rock. It is a great quote, though. If you want to go fast, go alone. If you want to go far, go with others. At times in life, it's easier to live life without other people because other people complicate things. So if you want to get someplace faster, do it by yourself. But life is not a sprint. It's a marathon. And if you want to go far, if you want to go the distance, especially when it comes to your spiritual life, then you have to adopt the idea that you cannot do life alone. Why? Because you are the sum of the 5 people that are closest to you in life. And when you are feeling dull, the answer is someone else in your life to sharpen you. That's the answer. That's the key. I want to share with you something that happened with Solomon. At the end of Solomon's life, Scripture says he's the wisest man ever to live. But Solomon, things didn't end very well for him. In 1 Kings 11:4, we read what happened with Solomon. It says, as Solomon grew old, his wives turned his heart after other gods. And his heart was not fully devoted to the Lord, his God, as the heart of David, his father, had been. So Solomon starts off great, and most of his life he lives great, but he eventually is influenced. In his culture and in his day and age, it was customary and okay for a king to have multiple wives. It was seen as an honor or a way for them to have wealth. And so Solomon fully embraces. The issue that he ultimately had, though, is that he took wives that didn't believe in the same God that he believed in. And over time, his wives influenced him. And it wasn't an intentional influence. It was just being around them, hearing their ideas, allowing them to speak into his life. Eventually, Solomon turned his heart from God. The author of Hebrews says a very similar thing to us. It's a warning to those of us that would say we're Christians. Hebrews 3, 12 through 13 says, "See to it, brothers and sisters, that none of you has a sinful, unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God. But encourage one another daily, as long as it's called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness." I love the wording of this verse because sin does harden us. Life hardens us. Our own choices harden us. And what is the answer according to Solomon? As iron sharpens iron, so one man, one person, one woman sharpens another. So I want to illustrate this to you because I think this is something that I want to make sure that all of us get. And I'm actually going to, I think everyone is socially distanced if I still do this. I'm actually going to come out into the crowd since Eric's already sitting out there. Our scripture says, as iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another. So Eric, if you would stand up and stand right over here. Okay, this is how often we, as Christians, as people of faith, try to live our lives. We have someone in our life that influences us, and we say, okay, come here, I'm going to influence you. Give me your hand, and I'm going to pull.
Do you want me to stab?
No, I don't. I'm going to pull. I'm going to. I got a hemorrhoid trying to pull you.
You need longer arms.
I need longer arms. Okay, so it is incredibly difficult for me to pull Eric up to my level. But I want to show you what's not difficult. Don't hurt me, but just try to pull me down. Okay. It's incredibly easy for Eric to pull me down. The way that Christianity is supposed to work is we should have people in our lives that we feel are different than us, that don't believe like we are, but we shouldn't allow them to influence us. And the way that we allow people to influence us is instead of trying to pull people up or allow them to pull me down, we've got to invite them, come on up. We got to invite them up to the same level. When we're on the same level with one another, now we're influencing one another. He's not pulling me down. I'm not trying to pull him up. So if he's on the same level with me, then I can say, this is a person that can sharpen me. This is a person that I will allow to influence me. When I need advice and I need wisdom, this is the type of person I want to go to. Why? Because we are the sum product of the five people we are closest to. Thank you, Eric, for standing on our chairs. Appreciate that. So, at Next Level, when we say you can't do life alone, we understand that it's possible as humans to try to live life alone. What we mean by that core value is that if you want to be a person who lives for Jesus, it's not going to happen by yourself. That Christian community is so incredibly important for our spiritual lives. And the way that we do this on a regular basis is through what we call Next Level groups. Next Level groups meet for a semester, 12 to 14 weeks. It is a regular scheduled appointment where you can meet with some people who are on the same chair with you. It's not perfect people. It's not people who have all the answers, but it's people who are saying, I'm trying to walk this life. I'm trying to be like Jesus. I'm trying to serve. I'm trying to do my best. That the key is to get in a relationship with people who are doing that with you so that you can influence someone else and they can influence you. Our groups, the sign-up for groups, it actually went live today. It's on our website at nextlevelchurch.net. And what I want to encourage and invite every single one of you to do is I want every single one of you to evaluate your own circle of influence right now, and I want you to think about, do I have people in my life that are spurring me on, that are sharpening me spiritually? And do I have people in my life that I am sharpening? If the answer is no, I want to invite you, and if Next Level is your church, I want to invite you to join a Next Level small group. We have a variety of lists of groups. There's groups for all sorts of things. We have a running group. We have some groups that are learning how to study the Bible. We have a group that's learning, just going through a book of the Bible. We have a sermon-based group. We have various groups. If you're a teenager, we have student groups for you that will start meeting in the fall, in September. We have groups for almost everyone. And what I want to encourage you to do is, with an open mind, I want you to go to our website. If you're not already a part of a group, I want you to go to our website and look at the groups and find a group that you think interests you. But here's the thing. There's a great chance if you get on the website, you're going to quickly look at it. And some of you, especially if you tend to be more introverted, you're going to say, "Nah, I don't really see anything that interests me." So I want you to hear the heart of what this core value is. If Next Level is your church, then you are a person who believes, spiritually, I can't do life alone. So if there's not a group that fits your schedule or fits your needs, would you have a conversation with us first? Because it is so important that you get in community with other people. And so even if we have to figure out and start another group or find another leader, or maybe even it's an opportunity for you to start a group, I don't know what the exact answer is, but if Next Level is your church, this is not something that you passively let us do for you. It's something that you participate in. Why? Because we cannot do life alone. And I love being a part of a group because as life gets busy, I know that every single Monday night, there's a group of people who I can sit around and be around that can help sharpen me, and I can help sharpen them. And so that takes us to today's win. Today's win is, as iron sharpens iron, who is sharpening you? Who are you sharpening? Would you find a Next Level group today? They're on our website. It's incredibly important for us, but not just for us as a church. It's important for you as a Christian. Will you pray with me? God, we come before you, and we just thank you that, God, you model community by being in community with yourself. And God, we ask that you would help us, God, to do the hard work. Community is not easy. Being in relationship with other people is not easy. But God, it is so important. And so, God, today, if we're feeling dull, if we're feeling like we're not inspired, on fire for you, God, would you help us to do the hard work to find a group, to find a person, to find people that can sharpen us, and help us to be people that try to sharpen others. We thank you for what you're going to do. In Jesus' name, amen.
We hope you've enjoyed and learned from today's podcast. If you'd like to connect with us further, you can check out our website at nextlevelchurch.net or find us on Facebook or Twitter.